Welcome to Angels Among Us, the podcast where we share real stories of angelic encounters. Each episode, you'll hear firsthand accounts of divine protection, guidance, and miraculous interventions that remind us we're never truly alone. Whether through a whisper of comfort, an unseen hand of protection, or an unmistakable presence, angels are closer than we think. Join us as we explore these powerful experiences of angels, both seen and unseen. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Angels Among Us. We are so excited. We've been so excited for this interview. This is Gary and Andrea, people that are very, very dear to us. And we have we are family. We don't share any of the same blood, but we have a pretty unique connection, I think. And I have loved Andrea for 22 years now. And Gary, you were a little late to the party, but
he's but always late, but he comes in big.
So if you guys don't mind introducing yourself, telling us a little bit about yourself, just tell your story. Tell everybody what you feel like you need to tell.
Well, we are, Andrea and Gary Arbuckle. We've been married for almost 8 years now. We got married in June of 2017. And we knew each other in college. We knew each other from the cheer squad. Andrea was a cheerleader.
Gary, you look like a cheerleader for sure.
That mean.
And I was the university's mascot and later became a cheerleader. But that's how we met as far as our introductions. And we spent a year together in college. We became very good friends.
Never dated,
but obviously on the same squad, going to games, practices, rehearsals, spending a lot of time with each other that year. And so you got to know each other very well in very close quarters, very intimate ways, which was a lot of fun. And we are friends with all of the squad that we spent that time with. And so from that, our worlds went in different directions. Our lives and our paths took us in different ways. And then 20-something years later, they reconnected. And so that's our story, but there's a lot to it as far as her journey and my journey and how we ended up back together.
It gives me chills. So, Andrea, why don't you go ahead and share your story?
Well, if you had come to me when I was 18 years old in high school and said, okay, this is what's going to happen, and then this is what's going to happen, and then you're going to have to face this trial and this trial, I would have never believed it. I actually can't really believe, you know, that we are where we are, but it's great. Like, it's, there have been a lot of trials, but there have also been a lot of blessings and a lot of miracles. And so, for me, so I met my first husband, also at the same time that Gary met his first wife, the same month in August, and we both started dating our people. And then a full year later, we both got married to our, people in August, and, at the same time. So I think that's really unique. My first, I guess, trial that came upon me is quite similar to the Wyatt's situation as far as infertility. And so after being married about 3 years, my first husband and I decided that we wanted to get pregnant. And so we started trying all the things, and it became very tough. It was very arduous, and everybody else was getting pregnant around us, and we just were having a struggle. And so we decided to do in vitro, and the doctors that we saw were pretty optimistic. They were, they almost guaranteed, you know, that I would be able to get pregnant. And as I was going through that, as you can attest, you know, it there's a lot. I mean, it's a roller coaster ride of emotions and hormones and shots and and just fear and anxiety and all that. And as we were doing it, each time we would go in for a test, it just seemed like there was something wrong. And so by the time we finished, it was like there were four different things that were wrong with me. And so, you know, I was extremely discouraged. And so we did a lot of praying and fasting about it. Being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I wanted to check all the boxes. I wanted to I wanted to make sure that we were doing everything. Read your scriptures, go to the temple, go to church, pay your tithing, do your visiting teaching. That's what it was back in the day, back in my day. You know, just like all the things, praying incessantly, and just it was a very discouraging time. And so at that time, my dad's first cousin was President James E. Faust. So he was a general authority in the first presidency of this church. And he had written a book. In his book, it said that he had the gift of healing. And I thought, gosh, I wonder if I could write him a letter and see if maybe he could give me a blessing to heal me so that I could get pregnant. And so I wrote him a letter, and 3 days later, I didn't realize it was going to be that fast. His secretary called us and said, yeah, let's schedule the appointment. We'll schedule it for February 11th, 2000. And that date's pretty significant, as you guys know, but I'll tell our listeners about it in a minute. Anyway, so that was only a month later at the time. And so we went in and we met with him, and it was a really incredible experience. And we did not want to adopt. We had some relatives, some nephews that had been adopted, and they were having a rough time, and that was our only experience. And it scared me, and I didn't have enough faith at the time to believe that I could have an adoption experience that was positive, that was stress-free.
Right.
No, I mean, are raising kids stress-free anyway? I mean, I don't know. I was just very fear-based at the time. We went into this special blessing with President Faust, and he said, before I give you this blessing, have you thought about adoption? Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, we have a little bit. But, you know, my patriarchal blessing, which is a special blessing, I guess I don't really want to get into that. My patriarchal blessing says that I would bear a child and raise a family of beautiful children, you know, and that could mean anything. But anyway, I just said to President Faust, we haven't really thought about that. We just want you, we're hoping that you can heal, because that's what you said in your book. And so he said, okay, we'll see what he has to say. And he pointed up, and we were like, oh my gosh, okay, this is this. And so, you know, this is very special. I haven't shared this with a lot of people, but, you know, I love you guys, and I hope that this will bring some spirit and some peace to and some faith to any listeners out there that have dealt with infertility. I wanted a baby so bad. And I wanted to be able to get pregnant. And so anyway, we sat down and President Faust put his hands on my head. And he said, I bless you that you will bear, that you will raise a child from another mother. Right from the beginning. And he said those words. And my whole body just became on fire. And I knew in my mind, I said, we're going to adopt. We're going to adopt. And I had never thought that until that point. And then he said, I bless you that you will fulfill your patriarchal blessing and that you will be able to bear a child. And then he also said in the blessing, seek out the best medical advice. And he said a lot more things than that, but I don't need to share the rest of it. Anyway, after closing that blessing, I hung on to the words, seek out the best medical advice. And so we went back to our doctors and they said, well, you didn't produce enough eggs and they weren't good quality eggs. So this is a no-brainer. We'll double your medication and do the in vitro again, and you'll just produce more eggs, and that will give us more eggs to choose from. And, you know, this is a year later. You know how this goes. It takes time. You have to wait for your body to regulate, and you have to get back into your cycle, and everything has to just be just right. And so anyway, we thought, okay, we're going to do this, and if this doesn't work, then we'll adopt. So, you know, we wanted to be in control of how we got our kids, but the big man upstairs had a different plan. He was like, Andrea, okay, if this is what you want to do, you know, so we went through with the in vitro, we doubled the medication. We got to, the part where they do the insemination, and they said, we have some bad news. You only produced 2 eggs, and they're not very good quality. And I was devastated, but I was like, well, miracles can happen. So put them in, but you know, it didn't work out. And it felt like for me getting the test results back a second time, it felt like a miscarriage, even though I didn't know what that felt like. The pain of it, the sorrow, the despair, that was what I was feeling. And so I could only imagine that that's how it feels to have a miscarriage. And so after a period of time, I cannot remember how long it took, but after a period of time and just kind of mourning, we decided, okay, I guess, you know, the only thing that we have left is to adopt. And so let's go ahead and start the paperwork. So my first husband and I started the paperwork, and we were told that typically birth mothers, when they choose you to be their, to adopt their children, they'll give you a gift, and they kind of, our caseworker kind of set us up that way. But he said, I'm not going to tell you when people are looking at your case, because then that's going to get your hopes up. And so anyway, we start this process, and 3 or 4 months go by. We don't get any phone calls. 6 months go by, no phone calls. 9 months go by, no phone calls. 10 months. We're at 10 months. So I listened to your first, I can't remember if it was your first or your second podcast, where you talk about getting angry at God. And I decided on February 10th, it was a Sunday evening, I was going to let God know how mad I was that things were not happening and that we were checking everything off that list and we were doing everything. And I threw a tantrum and I cried and I felt so sorry for myself. I threw the biggest pity party. It was amazing. Little did I know, my angel was coming. I get really emotional. I'm sorry.
No, you're totally fine.
But we didn't know this, but Heidi, can I say this? Brent's sister, she was giving her baby up for adoption, and she was in labor. While I was having my pity party over here, she was over here in labor. And she was about to have a baby girl. And so I'm sure Heavenly Father was up there going, Andrea, you're being so impatient. Just give me 8 more hours or whatever, you know. But no. The next morning, we got a phone call from our caseworker, and he said, come into our office. We need to redo our paperwork. He was gonna surprise us. So he didn't tell us, and he said, we're gonna redo the paperwork. You typically do that every 9 months, right? So there was a little tiny part of me was like, maybe this is it. Maybe this is something. And we open the door into his office and his desk is empty. There is no gift on it. So I'm like, no, we didn't get picked. You know, and so we plop down in the chairs and I'm just still sad from the night before. And he says, before we start the paperwork, I want to give you something. And he takes this card, this pink envelope, and he slides it across the desk. And I open it up, and it says, I have chosen you to be the parents of my little girl. And I couldn't believe it. I was in complete shock. And she said, I gave birth to her this morning. And I want to meet you tomorrow and we'll place you with this baby the next day after that. From then on, it was just this whirlwind. But you know, your podcast is about angels, and I want to tell you that the next day when I walked into the room with Heidi, this birth mother, the minute we saw each other, I had this love that I can't even explain. This connection with Heidi that I can't even explain. It was incredible. It was like, this is your sister. I just felt connected to her, and I just, like, all my fears and worries, because I didn't know if when she saw me that she was going to have this judgment and wonder if I'm going to be a good mom or whatever, like, all of that went out the door. And it was like I knew Heidi in the pre-existence. It sounds so cheesy, but I really felt that, and it's never left me. And so I feel like Heidi is our angel to be able to place us with Alex, and the rest is history. I mean, oh my gosh, well, it's not history, but it was such a roller coaster ride from then on. It was an amazing experience. And you know, you also talked about the different emotions that you had on the day of placement. And I didn't realize this, Brent, you were there. I met you, but I didn't know that. because I was so like,
you were a little occupied.
Yeah, I was so occupied, but you and your siblings were all there. And, you know, like I had just been through 8 years. So I didn't say this, but I had been 8 years trying to have a baby. And that's almost a decade. That's a long time, you know. And so to finally, after all of this heartache and work and money and prayer and fasting and all of this stuff, like all of a sudden, this one day, you walk into this room and essentially it's a stranger, you know, and she walks up to me and she places Alex in our arms. And I can't tell you the war that I had inside, you know, because this was an answer to my prayers and my dreams. And at the same time, I'm like taking this baby out of this woman's arms and everyone standing there. I'll never forget the look on her mom, Tally's face as she's handing her to me, and so much crying and tears and sadness and joy. And I felt guilty feeling joy. And I know that Heidi didn't want me to feel sadness, but I couldn't help it. Mm-hmm. Because in my opinion, placing a baby is the most unselfish thing a person can ever do. That is my opinion. And so that was rough, but I'm very grateful knowing that we all have angels that attend us. And I know that Heidi had angels, unseen angels, helping her work through this, because she was able to work through all these things with the help of her therapist, with the help of her caseworker, with the family that she lived with. They were angels to her. Your family, I know, were rocks for her. Now that I know you guys the way that I do, like, holy crap. It's just, I'm just so grateful for that, because then she was able to move on. And so, you know, fast forward, another angel that entered our lives was a woman named Anna, and she is Ethan's birth mother. So we adopted, my first husband and I adopted our second child, and it was rather quickly. It was within 2 years. And I got to see his birth. It was incredible. And I got to cut the cord, and it was such a beautiful experience. And his birth mother was so amazing. And her family, they were just very loving people. Totally different experience, though. Different adoption experience. This had been her second baby that she had given up for adoption. And so she decided to do it differently. And I don't judge her for that at all. But she also decided that once Ethan was 18 months old, that she didn't feel the need to communicate with us anymore. And so we don't have communication with her. Whereas with Alex's birth mother, Heidi, like we know everything. Like, she's my sister. She communicates with Alex whenever she wants. And it's just this, we're just this great big family. It's incredible. I have to show my t-shirt.
It says the Wyatt
Arbuckle reunion. So we actually have had family reunions. Who does that? We do.
That relationship wasn't always, you know, open, right? I mean, it.
Correct.
When was the first time that Heidi met Alex and you?
Heidi met Alex, I believe she was five. We went to the park, and mm-hmm. I was still married at the time, and she got to meet her, and I want to say that was when it was. It was still a little bit closed, but we communicated via email. We didn't exchange phone numbers or anything like that. Then some circumstances happened in my relationship with my with my first husband that I'm not going to get into, but we wound up getting a divorce, obviously. And that was one of the hardest things I ever had to go through. And being a single mom. And so there was a period of time I stopped communicating with Heidi because I felt guilty. And I didn't know how to tell her that we were divorced. And I didn't know how she was going to respond to that. I didn't know what kind of backlash we were going to get. Oh my gosh, will she want to come back and like somehow take me to court and want to get custody again? I don't know. I was going the extremes in my thought process because, you know, I was divorced and it was really difficult. And I think Gary will talk a little bit more about that with his experience, but, anyway, I'm kind of jumping all around. Before that divorce, I did have a baby. I did have a miracle baby, and I consider all my babies miracle babies, but this one actually came out of my I got to be careful.
Brent told me the other day, "Hey, it's a kid show, so."
Yeah. I know, right? Made for kids. But yeah, all the stars and planets aligned, and I was able to get pregnant, even though my doctors had called me after that second in vitro. They called me one night on the phone, and they said, "We just wanted to let you know you're never going to have a baby." Like, why would you call somebody and tell them that? I knew that.
Hopefully they're listening right now.
I know, right? But... You know, I thought you can't take that seed of faith
right
from me. And I said at the beginning that February 11th was the day that I met with President James E. Faust. Well, fast forward 2 years was Alex's day she was born. So that was why that day was significant. And then we got our son, and then we had our Olivia, and then we had problems, and then we got our divorce. And so I do need to talk about that for a second, because that relates to some angel experiences. So I was divorced for 8 years. I think 8 is the magic number for me. And so 8 years, and I dated a lot, and I had my 3 kids, and it was hard. It was a challenge financially. My son has some difficulties. He has some, help me out here.
He has, well, he's on the spectrum.
Well, yeah. Okay. I was going to give more. A broader term for he has some disabilities. Yeah, he's on the spectrum, and he has some other disabilities that have made his life really, really difficult. And so raising him was a challenge by myself. I did have angels assist me. I did have angels that were seen. My parents were always there for me. And my siblings were there, and my ward was there to lift me up. And during that time, I'm a very firm believer in priesthood blessings. And I asked for them quite often. And I remember this one particular blessing that my dad gave me, and he said, "I bless you that you will know who your unseen angels are in your life. You will have unseen angels minister to you, and you will know who they are." And that was really powerful for me, because I felt very alone. And during that time, I did a lot of running, and, like, I didn't run marathons, but I'd just go out for a, for a run every morning, and it was a very specific path, and I would listen to music or a podcast or something like that. And it wasn't very long, but that was just kind of my time where it was like me and any inspiration that I would get or whatever. It was just kind of my alone time, my therapy time. And on one particular day, I was running and I had this very strong impression. And I haven't shared this with a lot of people either, because maybe people will think I'm crazy. I don't know. So I have to be kind of choosy with who I share it with. But I had this really strong feeling that my grandson was running with me. And in my mind's eye, I could see this young man in his mid-20s, really good shape, very muscular, had this persona of military, of like, he was a soldier. And he was saying, you can do it. You keep going. I am right here with you. And you don't give up. And I saw that so strong. And I had this voice tell me, this is Alex's son. He is with you. And it just gave me so much strength. And I was so grateful for that knowledge, because he came and visited me. And when I say visit, like, we don't sit and talk, but it was him going on my runs with me, you know, and being with me and saying words of encouragement as I was jogging. And it just gave me so much strength. And I have a friend that does muscle testing, and she's very close to the veil, and she can muscle test. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Mm-mm. Where sometimes people have this gift, and you can ask them questions and they muscle test for your body, and your body can answer those questions. Mm. And it has to do, a lot of it has to do with like good spirits. Sometimes it can be bad spirits. And so anyway, after this one particular run, I felt very strongly about it. And I texted her and I said, hey, will you muscle test for me? And she said, yeah, give me a second. And I said, do I have a spirit with me? And she said, yeah, you do. And I said, who is it? I didn't want to ask her, is it my grandson? Because yeah.
Right.
You know, but I just was, I guess I was testing. And I said, who is it? And she said, it's your grandson.
Oh my God.
And I had never told her that I was having these experiences.
Well.
So I wanted to share that, because not because I think, oh, I'm so cool, I have this. It's because I know that if I have it, you all have it. You all can have that. And you do have it. A lot of us just don't bring that awareness to ourselves. You know, I had a good friend of mine once, when I was having a really hard time, he said, pray to the Lord and ask him to send specific angels to minister. We can ask for these angels to come minister to us. We don't have to sit and wait. And I just think it's amazing. So I'm very grateful for that knowledge, because I really do believe that we all have different angels that come to us at different times. And we just need to try and put ourselves in those places where we can feel and know who it is and what kind of messages that they want us to know, you know? And so, gosh, I could talk for a long time, but I think I've shared for now.
I do want to tell everyone that we were able to, it was a really cool experience. We were able to meet Andrea and Gary and their whole family and Alex. What was that? Four years ago?
3.5 years ago.
So that was the very first
time. That was the first time that we had met.
Yeah.
And Alex.
Many of Brent's siblings had never met, you know, Alex. And I will never forget that day and how special that was. And, you know, I think we all were really worried about, you know, we never wanted you guys to feel like, you know, we were, you know, stepping on toes or, you know, we had to, you know.
The Wyatts can be a lot.
Yeah, as you know now. I'm not gonna lie, but it's in a good way. I mean, that was a pretty amazing experience. Maybe you'll have Alex on your show and she can explain, because I don't want to talk for her, but yeah. Other than she was super nervous because she wanted everybody to like her. I mean, how is somebody not gonna like her? I mean, come on.
I think that's a mutual feeling among, you know, both sides for sure.
I don't care if people like me or not.
Sure, Brent.
No, but I will say for us, because of our struggles with infertility and then adopting and knowing what you went through for us, Michaela and I, we felt an extra connection with you and with Alex. And also being able to see Heidi's side of everything, right? Being a birth mom and the struggles that she went through for us in our situation, now having adopted our two kids and having two birth moms, I think that we have a perspective that not a lot of adopting families get. And
so true.
It's been able to really help us be able to connect with our birth moms, even though one of them we haven't met, and just having that love for them and appreciation and, like you said, it's probably the most selfless thing that anyone can do. And, you know, I talked about in one of our episodes also how for us, and you spoke on this also, that receiving our greatest blessings ever, but it was also at the expense of somebody else. And that's kind of a weird place to be, but being able to feel the spirit and have the love that we have for those individuals, I think has really helped comfort us and put us at peace, knowing that somebody really struggled for us. And so, yeah. And I'm so honored that you shared your other story about my birth great nephew. that's kind of crazy to think he has some of my blood and
dark hair, and he was buff.
I bet he was. Oh, that's so awesome. And yeah. And like you said, I know that we all have those angels that are there for us, whether they're family or not. I know that there's so many people that are on the other side of the veil that love us so much and want us to be happy and want us to succeed. And I know that we receive their help more times than we think.
Oh, 100%. I think that it is more often than not. I think that it is constant, and we just don't recognize it. We don't see the little things, you know. Sometimes situations will happen and we'll go, oh, that's a weird coincidence. Is that a coincidence? So-and-so, you know what I mean? I don't think so. I think there are angels that are influencing our actions and different things. And no, I'm not saying that we're being controlled, but if the Lord is working in our favor for things, he's going to have angels helping us work in our favor, right? You know, I mean, back to my little tantrum, on the other side, things were working in my favor.
Yeah.
You know, even though, like you said, it's at someone else's expense, whatever it is that Heidi was having to learn, it catapulted her, you know, onto another level, because she had to learn some really, really hard things in that kind of a way. You know what I mean?
And going through what she went through, I don't want to speak for her.
Right.
We'll be able to listen to her story soon
also. But you can't go through those kinds of things alone. You really can't. And whether it's the Savior there to help you or our unseen angels that are helping, we cannot get through this life alone. And that's why it's so difficult when we have those feelings of being alone. Nobody wants to be alone. And though it may feel like it sometimes, we aren't alone.
To be honest, Andrea, I don't think I've ever really shared this with you. Maybe I have, but I'm going to try not to cry, but I think that, like, had you not come into my life, I don't know. I don't know if I would have handled the adoptions as well as I probably have, because you've been able to just share your experience, you know, and how you handled things, or maybe the fears that you had or the insecurities that you had. And it really helped me to know that, like, okay, this is not just me, you know, and because I have been so hard on myself and have had a ton of insecurities throughout, you know, and just wondering, like, will Reese ever want to go back? You know, like, will she hate me one day, or will she, you know? And you really have helped me so, like, more than you will ever know. And I do think that that is why we wanted to have this podcast, so that people would share their stories and maybe get out of their comfort zones, because it's helping other people, and we need each other in this life. And yeah, so I want to thank you, because you are one of my angels for sure. So
yeah. I'm like so blown away. thank you for sharing that. That really means a lot. Yes, it really does. And I do remember at the beginning, some of the beginning stages of as you were sharing things on social media, I do remember poking my little head in there and going, it's okay. It's going to happen for you. Don't worry. I know this is so hard.
Yeah.
God has a plan.
Yeah.
It's not your plan.
For sure. And speaking of other plans and other stories, Mr. Gary over here, Gary has an incredible story too. And I just have to mention, Gary is literally, we probably will throw some bloopers in here, because he is by far probably one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life.
Besides my husband. Besides me, yeah.
Oh, right. Second place.
So, Gary, we want to know your story and the miracles there.
Well, it's a... boy, you guys have touched on a lot, and... as I'm listening to this, I'm just awestruck at the plan that just unfolds that you don't know about, but it just happens. And so I guess the most appropriate thing that I could do would be to pick up the story where my first marriage, it wasn't a question of infertility, but it was a question of pregnancy, where my first wife had the preeclampsia, which is the high blood pressure and the excess swelling and the proteins in the urine and what the mother can go through distress and be very hard and can be it can be hazardous to the mother to carry a child. And so that's what our circumstance was. And so after our first son was born, then we chose to adopt, you know, rather than put mom's life in jeopardy and her health in jeopardy. So we adopted three beautiful children after the birth of our first child. And so we were a family of four with three adopted children. And the main motive for these adoptions was to provide a home for these children that weren't ready for a home, or that for a mother that was not ready to have a child come into their lives. And so we were happy to provide that for them. And so each adoption was special. It was unique. It was a miracle. And I felt so very blessed and so proud. And that was probably my downfall, as I was so proud to be able to look at my children. And we would tell the children, their birth story. Every birthday, we would share with them the adoption story. You know, tell us again, Dad, you know, how I was born. Sure. And so then I would tell them the story of their adoption. And so they naturally grew up knowing, and it was just natural to them of, that is my birth story. That is my adoption story. And so the children, obviously age appropriate, knew of their adoption, you know, ever as far back as they can remember. And so when they asked, you know, and they would always ask, well, how come you chose to adopt me? And I would look at them and say, because we wanted you to grow up with a mother and a father and a complete family unit, and the influences that a mother and a father brings to the family. And it may have been that pride that was the ultimate downfall of what I thought I had built. And there came the time for a divorce to happen, and my very identity, the fibers that wove me together, started to pull apart and to tear. And I didn't know how to reconcile who I was at that point. I thought I knew who I was, but now I didn't. And so, and I was just as Andrea expressed, a lot of worry, or what does this mean now? And shame, embarrassment, all of these emotions that I felt. And I was very closed. And Brent talks about, you know, not being alone. I felt alone. You know, I can't tell anybody. I can't share this with anybody. I don't know what to say. And so a lot of that time where I was divorced, I didn't say anything to anybody. And people thought I was still married and I was divorced. And it was just this, I was living alone. And I had my own little world that I was living in. And finally, one of my church leaders, he invited me to speak in church in front of a huge congregation. And he was one of the few that knew. And he says, look, you need to tell your story, because there are a lot of people out there that are in your same shoes, going through your same emotions, and you need to tell them. And so during that time where I thought I was alone, I just hung on to my faith. I hung on to the things that I knew were real. I knew God was real. I knew Jesus Christ is my Savior and Redeemer. And I knew that if I took my kids to church, that if I studied the scriptures with them, that I could hang on to that one thing. My world is falling apart, but if I could hang on to that anchor, then all the rest could fall apart. I knew I had my family and I had my kids. And so I did hang on to that, and I did share my divorce from in front of a huge gathering of people for the first time. And it was a very, very humbling existence that I lived in for that period of time, until I got the thought of reconnecting with a certain person from college. I had, you know, after divorce, everybody, you know, goes through a certain emotion. I did not want to have anything to do with any other relationship for a while. Very unmotivated. I felt very apathetic. My practice didn't grow. Social life didn't grow. Everything. I was just going through the motions. But a voice, a thought came to me. Why don't you reach out to Andrea?
Wow.
And it's like, well, I was living in New York City at the time. It's like, well, she's 2,000 miles away. Why would I reach out to her? You know, well, just reach out to her. I reached out to her. I came and visited her. Now, we were, as I said in the beginning, we were really good friends, and I really enjoyed her friendship while we were in college. And so the thought was, gosh, I wonder if she's the same person. I wonder what's that?
Can I interrupt for just a second?
Yeah.
I have to interrupt for just a second because I threw another pity party. During this time, I have to interject. When he was getting that thought to reach out to Andrea, I was having another party. I really was. I threw a tantrum. I cried to the Lord and I said, I have been alone this whole time. I've been faithful. I've been staying on the covenant path. What is going on? When is this guy going to come into my life? And angels were whispering to Gary to reach out to me. And the next day,
Yeah.
So I Facebook messaged her, you know, hey, I'm coming out. I'd love to visit, you know, because 20 something years have passed and a lot can happen in people's lives in that period of time.
Oh, and I didn't know he was divorced. That's important to know.
Anyway, so I come out and I visit her. She's the same person that I knew 20 years ago in college. I was so happy. I was so thrilled. And so
still looked the same and
stupid. Yeah. So she, you know, it was wonderful. It was so wonderful to reconnect with her.
But he didn't tell me that he was divorced.
Well, eventually I did. So, and eventually, you know, we dated long distance. We talked. And we
while you thought he was married still, Andrea?
No.
I told her
later, and then we started
told her a week later. We started long distance dating. And then it comes a time where, okay, I'm gonna ask this woman to marry me and we're gonna get married. Now what do I do? I have my life in New York City, I have my four children in New York City. I have the woman that I want to marry that's 2,000 miles away. How do I work that? Now, the hardest decision in my life was to make that decision to marry Andrea, to travel from New York City to Utah, and to leave my children behind. Who does that? What kind of father does that? I'm struggling with the idea. I sat there and stared at the wall and prayed and prayed and stared and thought and pondered. And I didn't know the answer. And I would stare and pray and stare and think until finally a voice came into my head and said, they will find you. Four words, and that's all I got. They will find you. I still can picture the moment, but it wasn't a lot. I didn't know when. I didn't know how. I didn't know where. I didn't know anything as far as logistics, which a lot of people, you know, you're given a snapshot and that's it. And now it's up to you to walk the path and to see if the light really does shine at your footsteps. So I did it, not knowing the end from the beginning of nowhere, how it was going to happen. I flew out. To make a long story short, a series of events of I went back every single month, once a month, to visit my children. Circumstances fell into my lap that I could do that. And so I went back once a month. I visited the children, and it was a wonderful routine that we had. And the children knew what we were going to do, where we were going to go, where we're going to eat, where we're going to get ice cream, where we're going to do this. And it was a neat, it was a neat experience to, for them to have that pattern with their father. And then Corona hits, and New York City shuts down. Utah remains fairly open. The kids come out for summer, and they say, Dad, we don't want to go back to New York City. We'd like to stay here, and because of the environment. And that was the decision that was made, and sure enough, I can say now that all four children are now in Utah with us, and it took a few years to work itself out, but circumstance after circumstance, I can tell you that that confirmation to those thoughts and those ponders and that prayer that they will find you have come true. And it is through the actions of trusting that there is a God in heaven that has a plan for you that you don't know. And then through that, I find out that Andrea has two of her three children are adopted. And then we meet Heidi's birth family, and we go on vacations with them. And so the journey that I had was going from being what I thought was all alone to now multiple families and multiple influences and just an army of angels that I have, not only for me and not only for Andrea, but for my children and for the positive influence that our relationships have and how that funnels down to them. And they have so many people that love them and care for them and want well for them and support them and encourage them. It is truly one of the most miraculous things that has ever come to pass in my life. And I remember going on vacation the first time we were on vacation, and I'm sitting there driving home from us, the boys, going out golfing. I'm sitting in the passenger seat and Brent's driving. And I lean over to him. I look over to him and I said, Brent, how does this happen? How does this happen where adoptions take place and paths separate and they come back together, and all of a sudden that I'm golfing with my wife's adopted child's birth uncle? Like, you know, how do you, like, I'm trying to think this relationship through in my head, and it's like, who is this guy driving this car that's sitting next to me? I know he's connected to me because we're going on vacation together. And I say, you know, how does this happen? And he turns to me in the most simplest but profound way. He says, divine design, brother. And nothing has rung more true in my life than him telling me that and having that resonate with my soul. So it is the truth to me as far as angels and those things around us is that they are constantly there. It is like radio frequency that just fills the air that's constantly around us. We don't see it. We can't tell it's there. But as soon as we turn on the radio and tune in, look at that. If you are dialed to the right channel, you can identify it. I don't think it's any different. They're all around us. They're constant. And when we have the opportunity to channel in and to be in tune and to resonate with them, they minister to us and they appear. And if it is by voice, it is by a picture in your mind's eye, if it's by a thought, a feeling, it is real. And it is us being spiritual beings having these physical experiences rather than us physical beings having spiritual experiences. We are, in essence, these spiritual beings. And as we tap into these spiritual moments, we can see who we truly are, and we can catch the vision of what is meant for our lives. And we can see the things that matter most and the things that we will carry with us from this world to the next. It's not the material things. It's not the clothes. It's not the cars. It's not the this. It's not the that. We will take our knowledge and we will take our relationships. And it is those things that I cultivate and I cherish and I hold most dear to me is the knowledge that I gain in this life and the relationships that I build and enjoy is because those things that will carry over. So, it has been such a wonderful journey, being guided by angels, being guided by thoughts, being guided by voices, and trusting them, knowing that they have a higher vision than us, and then following in their lead and their guidance has truly blessed my life more than anything in this world.
Wow.
Thank you so much for that. That was awesome. Yeah. I love in times in these episodes, these interviews where I'm just speechless, mm-hmm. and it's almost as if my body feels like it's on fire. I just love it. There's no words that need to be said in those moments. So thank you, Gary, for sharing that. Thank you so much, Andrea, for sharing.
Thank you. Well. Thank you, brother. It's been such a wonderful gift to have this experience with you. It's truly wonderful.
We are a gift to a lot of people.
Oh, so. My gosh. Alan.
I'm sorry. Deeper. I'm sorry.
No, for reals, though. For reals. You guys are very... I just lost the word. Inspiring. You guys are very inspiring. And I have really appreciated you guys for your strength. You've been through a lot and you're still going to go through it because that's what we do here.
That's life.
On this planet. But you do it. You guys do it so gracefully. Like, you know, I don't know if you still teach those youth, but they are some lucky son of a guns.
We love them to death.
That you get to teach them because you're fantastic examples.
Yeah. It's I could see Andrea when Michaela was talking and sharing how much you meant to her in a lot of our journey. I could see it in your face. You're just how much that means, right? To be able to hear that. I joke about it, but I don't really think that about myself, that I'm such a blessing to so many people. I don't really think right. that way. Right. But to hear that I have possibly been an answer to somebody's prayers or an angel in somebody's life, it's one of the most humbling things you can hear, and it's so powerful and uplifting. So for any of you listeners that are out there, let people know when they are an answer to your prayers. Let them know when they have been an angel in your life, and that will make them want to turn around and listen to that still small voice telling them to reach out to somebody that they haven't talked to in 20 years, right? Because a lot of times we need that little push. We need that little reminder that there are people out there that need me. And it's powerful.
No, I really appreciate that, because the other day I was talking to Gary and I was like, I was having kind of a less than a confident day. And I made a comment like, I just really want to inspire people, and I really want to know that I'm helping other people. And so, Michaela, for you to say that, like, that really does mean a lot.
Well, I probably should have shared it sooner.
No, you shared it at the right time, because...
I do actually think about you a lot, and you've been in a lot of my conversations with other mothers and that are going through it, and just the, you know, advice that you've given me and the things that I've been able to hear from Heidi or, you know, you, it's just very, very inspiring, and you've helped in a lot of ways. So thank you.
I appreciate that. And as I've gone through different phases of my life, I've had a strong impression that one of the reasons why I've had to tackle these different kinds of trials is to be able to help other people. And I think you're in the same boat, you know, because there's a lot of people out there that struggle with infertility. And so you're a great person to be able to share, you know, your knowledge and your experience. So it's like you're passing it on.
Passing the torch. I'll take it. So
go ahead.
We like to ask each of our guests two questions. And the first question that we like to ask is just for anyone that is maybe listening and going through the situation that maybe you guys have gone through or something similar, you know, what is one piece of advice for them if they are going through something like you guys have?
The one piece of advice I would say is I think Brent said it best. You're not alone. There are times where I thought I was alone, but all you have to do is reach out. So the dark times are only dark until you shine a light on it. And other people in your life, they are the light. And all you have to do is open the door and reach out, and you can have support that you didn't even know existed from people around you as soon as you reach. As soon as you reach out, there are hands that are waiting, just waiting to pull you up to higher ground, to buoy you up, to support you, to encourage you. Reach out and share as much and as often as you can, and let people help you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's this pride thing of like, I can take care of myself. I can do this. I don't need anybody else's help. I can do this. Let people serve you. Let people help you. It is what this world is about, is letting people serve you. Let it happen and your life will change.
Advice that that I would give, and I want to like touch on both of the trials that I talked about. As far as infertility, maybe my advice goes for both, and that is that you don't give up hope. Mm-hmm. You don't give up hope, and in the infertility, babies don't come randomly. Spirits don't just happen to come. It's not a 50-50 thing. Spirits come when the Lord wants them to come. And they come in different ways. And I don't think it's this random thing. I think that we all are given different situations, and we have things that we have to learn. And you know, I don't know how to explain the situation with Heidi. You know, she gets pregnant when she's young. There's no judgment there. And this is a plan of how it was supposed to go for us. Somehow. I don't know how, and we'll know in the afterlife. But if people struggle with being able to get pregnant, there's a reason for it. And that sounds maybe a little callous, and I don't say that in a flippant kind of way, because I struggled with it. And then all of a sudden I didn't. And I don't know how you explain that other than we had to go through certain things to get to that point. And everybody's path is different. Everybody's journey is different. So my advice for that is you don't compare. You just keep having faith and you live your life, you know, in alignment with the Lord. And if you're a single parent out there, also, you don't give up hope. I mean, a lot of people around the time when I was single were saying, there's no good guys out there. There's no good guys. So you're going to have to settle for, you know, pick the least of the problems that a person has and just settle. My advice, don't settle. He's out there and you just be patient. And again, it's the Lord's, it's on the Lord's times table. If you want the right one, if you want just anybody, then you can have just anybody.
You really need a pity party with Heavenly Father, apparently.
Good point.
Heavenly Father knows I like to party, so.
Well, that's great advice. Thank you. And we do have one other question, even though I feel like there's been a lot of truth that's been shared, even in the advice. But if there's one bit of truth, one thing that you know to be true that either of you would like to share, we would love to hear it.
The truth is we walk by faith, not by sight. We have a circle of light around us that may not go beyond one step at a time. But it is stepping into the dark where the light expands. And that by taking another step, it expands further. And as you walk by faith, knowing that there is a higher power in charge, there is great strength. And there is your life becomes directed by one that loves you the most and knows you better than you know yourself. And these challenges and these trials are for our good. And we will look back and be grateful for the challenges, be grateful for the suffering, being grateful for these trials. We may not know it now, but as we walk by faith, we will know the truth that these things have brought into our lives and the blessings that they will provide. That is true.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
You took the words out of my mouth.
That's all right. That was perfect.
For both of us.
That's perfect. I'll add one more truth. I love you guys.
Aww.
And thank you for being with us today. And thank you all.
We love you. We love you. We're very grateful for you.
Well,
you guys are very dear to our hearts.
You guys too.
All right. Well, have a good night and we'll see you all next week.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.